Well, we're continuing on in 1 Corinthians, chapter 6. We're going to be looking at the next half of chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. Here we're looking at being unified. And I said, unified with who? I have this question mark. So, let's read our passage and see what the Word of God has to say. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach, and the stomach for food. But God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By His power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and He will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ Himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never! Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in the body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with Him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside of his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that we can come here and read it and find direction each and every day. Lord, we thank you that we can seek your will and know it. Lord, we thank you that you speak to us as fresh and new today as you did the day you originally spoke your word through your prophets and through the Bible writers. Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to grasp what it is you would have for us to understand today. To see what it is you would have us to apply to our lives so that we might best know you and follow you. That we might best live for you. That we might best, Lord, be the best we can, united with you. Father, I pray for myself that as I come and preach this morning, that your anointing would be upon me, that your Holy Spirit would fill me to overflowing, and that each person here would hear directly from you this morning. That each person who hears this message would know without a doubt you have spoken to them. Lord, we give ourselves over to you. We submit ourselves to your instruction, to your leading, to your will. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're united with. We're not talking about an airline here. We're talking about us. In God's Word. In God's will. As we look at what He has for us here today, He starts off talking about the physical desires of the body. Talking about everything is permissible. And, you know, speaking particularly towards food in this. because the contention was about food, that some food isn't permissible due to Jewish law. Some food was not kosher. That meant that the Jews said, it's unclean, we can't eat it. But Peter had received the vision that said, take your eat, don't worry about it. In fact, the law has been set aside for you who have received the Holy Spirit. Please note that you have to receive the Holy Spirit before the law is set aside. Because then you have the Holy Spirit within us, who is the living law, guiding and directing, etc. See, everything may be permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Now, if you have a food allergy, it might not be such a good idea to eat that food that's part of your allergy. Technically, it's permissible by law, but it's not going to do you a lot of good. But the point here was, people would have to go down to buy their meat at the market. In that day and age, the market got their meat from the temples, the various temples. That's who butchered the meat. Somebody else sold it. See, don't worry about that. Don't get caught up in those things. Food is for the body, and the body is for food. We need it. But don't allow it to master you. We're not supposed to let our desire for food master us. I'm not doing such a great job on that. I'm working on it. But I think my desire for exercise is the one I need to work on more. But point being, our body. We're not to... Everything out there is permissible to us, but not everything is beneficial to us. Because the law has been set aside. Because we received the Holy Spirit. That's who's being spoken to here in this letter, is those who have committed their lives to Christ. Those who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We're not talking about non-believers here. We're speaking Jesus. The Holy Spirit, God, is speaking to me, to you, to all of us who claim Christ as Lord and Savior through His Word right here. See, the body the food they're both going to be destroyed. This is just a temporary dwelling. And eventually it's going to be destroyed and I'll be resurrected, just as Christ was resurrected with that new body. So why am I getting all hung up on it? Well, because there are spiritual aspects about even this body. It was created with certain needs. It needs food. It needs spiritual intimacy. It has that need. Now we are to have that spiritual intimacy with God. But we're told that sexual intimacy is quite close and similar. In fact, in essence, has spiritual aspects and components to it. And that we're not supposed to be immoral in our sexual activities. What does that mean? That means sex is for those whom are married to each other. It's a very exclusive group. Butch and Rachel. Kevin and Sue. Donna and I. I mean, every couple. If you're married, it's okay. If you're not married, it's not okay. And it's only okay if you're having sex with the one with whom you're married. Okay, just as long as we're clear. Anything other than that is referred to as sexual immorality. It's a big heading. Sometimes we want to move more things into the okay category. But we're told here that it's not okay. And that, in fact, that when we do that, we're sinning against ourselves and God. See, this one sin is one that occurs within our bodies and sins against ourselves and damages us in a spiritual way. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ Himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Say, well, what if I don't pay for it? Then it's not prostitution, right? That's not what we're talking. Sexual immorality. You've got Christ living within you. When you and I, when we behave in a sexually immoral manner, whether it's just fantasy, you know, or whether it's an action, we have harmed ourselves spiritually. We've sinned against God and ourselves. For it is said, the two will become one flesh, but he who unites himself with the Lord is one with Him in spirit. See, our key here is we're to be united with the Lord. United with Him instead of working against Him. United with His will for us instead of contrary to His will. We're not to be all over the board. We're supposed to be following His lead. We can't be united and going our own direction. Now, He does have each of us doing different things, but we're united in purpose and as we follow one head. Who's supposed to be the head? Christ. Not me. Heaven forbid, it's me. I'm not the one in charge. It's supposed to be Him. Whether I'm talking about my life or this church, I'm not the one in charge. He is. By His power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and He will raise us also. He's going to raise us from the dead. And when we are sexually immoral, we're sinning against Him and against ourselves. We're damaging us. We're damaging our relationship. It says, flee from sexual immorality. For all other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. Oh, yeah. Okay, so when I sin sexually, I'm sinning against God. I'm sinning against my own body. I'm causing myself spiritual harm. And guess what? I'm abusing something that's not mine. This body isn't mine. God's. I don't have a right to do with it as I will. It was bought with a price. And I accepted the payment for it. I said, yeah, you can have my body, you can have me, you can have all of me. He washed away my sins. His blood washed me clean. And when I received that cleansing, it made Him not just my Savior, but my Lord. I gave Him all of me. I submitted myself and said, here it is. I mean, I was already His anyways, but I was in rebellion. I was pretending it wasn't His. Now I don't even have that ability to say that. Because He is. When I accept Him as my Lord and Savior, I'm saying, yeah, You do own me. Now I can either be a servant in rebellion and say, nope, I'm not going to do what You say. You don't own me. Nobody's the boss of me. Anybody ever heard those words? Anybody ever spoken those words? You're not the boss of me. Yep. Yeah, I used to act like that. Every now and again, it still peeks out. So, who are we going to unite ourselves with? Comes our question. Our primary question here. Am I uniting myself with just myself? Am I uniting myself with those whom God has instructed me not to? Am I behaving in a sexually immoral manner? Am I allowing my appetites to drive and direct what I'm doing? Whether we're talking about food, lust, neediness. You know, sometimes we have that. Emotional neediness where we're taking from others that which we really don't need. But, or are we going to God and we're saying, God, You, I give myself to You. I want to be united with You. Lord, I want You to be the one in charge of my life. Lord, I want You to live within me. I want to recognize that this body, this person right here, is the temple of the Holy Spirit, that You reside here and that wherever I go, You go. Wherever I am, You are. Am I living my life that way? Am I united with God in the purpose, His purpose, of sharing the gospel? Now, who am I supposed to share the gospel with? All those people who look like me? Or with everybody? Last I recall, it said everybody in Scripture. I mean, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the earth. I mean, that's pretty inclusive. And this is what God's will is. For us, for me, that we would be united with Him. That means we're not divided against Him. We've got United Airlines. We have the United States of America. We have United this and United that. What does it mean? Yesterday, the Democrats decided to get united behind one candidate. It means that they're no longer fighting. It means that united means that you're not at, don't have different directions. You don't have different heads. You've got one purpose, one in charge. That you're working together not working against or across purposes. Are you united? Or I should say, with whom are you united with? Who are you united with? 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. 365 days a year. You don't get any time off. There's no vacation. What? Yeah. There is no vacation from this. God will give you rest. But he's not. But if you're truly united with him, you don't. There's not a time where you go away from him. Ever. If you're truly united, even when you're apart, you're together. Donna and I experience that. Even when we're apart, we're together. Ed, you ever have that experience? Good, Ed. Anybody here ever been married and experienced that? Even though you're apart, you're still together. Donna called me up and said, "What's wrong?" I'm saying, "What are you talking about?" "Well, something's wrong. Something's bothering you. I just know it." And that when we're apart, I mean, she does it when we're in the same house. I'm talking about the calling me part. No. Sure, she does that too. Cell phone lifestyle that we live. Calling each other from separate rooms in the house. But we're united. Are we that united with God? We're supposed to be. We're supposed to be even more so. Because it's to be one. It's healthy. It's the way we were made. You are intended to be united and not alone. The one with whom you are meant to be united is Christ. The physical relationship which we have on this earth, which is most similar to that, is marriage. And it is meant to be holy because it's an institution God gave us. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? So speaking to each of us individually, your body is a temple. Not that we, the church, are the temple, because we are that. But each one of us is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Whom is in... You are a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Honor God with your body. How do you honor God with your body? You live a sexually moral life as best as one is able. Turning from immorality instead of seeking it. Okay. You understand the difference between a stumble and an intentional, this is the way I'm going to live my life. Sometimes we realize, hey, in the middle of something, you know, what I'm doing isn't right, but I'm going to get it right. And we do that. And that's what we're supposed to do. Sometimes we end up walking down a path, we realize, how did I get here? This isn't where I intended to be. Well, what do you do when you find out you're on the wrong path and you're not where you wanted to go? Do you continue on that path saying, well, I'm on this path, that I have no other choice? Or do you ask directions to the right way and go, well, if you're a man, you don't ask directions, you continue on the wrong path forever. No, that's not what we're supposed to do. supposed to seek the Lord's will and His guidance and get it back to the right path as best we are able, as quickly as we are able. Sometimes it's a matter of just going from, oh, there we are, now I'm on the right path. Sometimes it's a matter of going, didn't even fall down when I did that. The long time. Just an about face. Change direction. Therefore, honor God with your body. Live your life as if God owns it and runs it. Because He does. Good news is, all that responsibility, worry, and concern that you had, you can just set it aside because God's the one in charge. You don't have to worry about that. But remember, Paul is talking to the people in Corinth here. He's also talking to us here today at Northbrook. Because we fall in the same traps, the same problems as they did then. So we need to seek, find, follow the Lord. Because He's the one to whom we are to be united. Because He's the one who has purchased us with a price. Therefore, honor God with our bodies. Honor God with our lives. Honor God with everything that we have and whom we are. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You that You do love us. We thank You, Lord, that You have given us direction and are there and residing within us to guide us each and every moment of our lives. Father, help us to live morally and pure. Even though things may be permissible, Lord, might we do those things which are beneficial instead of just not contrary to the law. Might we do those things which are best first for You, secondly for us. Father, we pray that You would be present, manifestly so, always in each of our lives. That when people see the way we live, they might see us living not in an immoral fashion, but moral fashion. And Lord, even when we are in their secret places, might we be moral in our choices, not hiding anything, because Lord, You're right there with us and there's nothing we can hide from You. So Lord, help us to continually live cognizant of the fact that You are right there in the midst of whatever it is we're doing, and that when we enter into sin, we take You into sin with us. And Lord, might that thought just turn us away and give us the strength to say no to temptation. Give us the fortitude to walk through those difficult times so that we might be united with You always. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close.